God's richest blessings to all of you. This is Pastor Holman. This is the first time that we've done worship together in this remote way, and so I want to give some instructions before we begin. You should have access through the email to the order of worship, which is a Word document that is entitled 200322 Lent 4 Home Worship, and if you open that document, you will have the hymns and the readings and the prayers all printed out for you, and it might be easiest if you just print that on your printer. If you have access to that, it'll be easier to follow along. Since everything is printed out on that, please turn to that, and according to the order of worship, beginning on page 2, we will start with the opening hymn, which is 902, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Continue the opening versicles on page 2. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 16. The entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat around pots of meat and ate as much food as we wanted, but now you have brought us out into this wilderness to have this whole community die of hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Watch what I will do. I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day they will prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "At evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your constant grumbling against the Lord. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses said, Now the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and as much bread as you want in the morning, because the Lord has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, Tell the entire Israelite community, Come before the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling. As Aaron spoke to the entire Israelite community, they turned toward the wilderness, and suddenly the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Say to them, At evening you will eat meat, and in the morning you will eat bread until you are full. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So in the evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning a layer of dew surrounded the camp. When the layer of dew was gone, there were thin flakes on the surface of the wilderness, thin as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, What is it? Because they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given to you as food to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. All of them are to gather as much as they need to eat. You are to take an omer per person, based on the number of people each of you has in your tents. The Israelites did this, and some gathered more, some less. When they measured it with an omer, the one who gathered more did not have too much, and the one who had gathered less did not have too little. All of them gathered as much as they needed to eat. Moses said to them, No one is to leave any of it until morning. However, they did not listen to Moses. Some of them left part of it until morning, and it became full of worms and stank. So Moses was angry with them. They gathered it each morning. All of them gathered as much as they needed to eat. When the sun grew hot, it melted away. Our second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. They continued to hold firmly to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were selling their possessions and property, and were distributing the proceeds according to what anyone needed. Day after day, with one mind, they were devoted to meeting in the temple area as they continued to break bread in their homes. They shared their food with glad and sincere hearts as they continued praising God and being viewed favorably by all the people. Day after day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The third reading is from John chapter 6. After this, Jesus crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he was performing on those who were sick. Jesus went up on the hillside and sat down there with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, Where can we buy bread for these people to eat? But Jesus was saying this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to have just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what is that for so many? Jesus said, Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed pieces to those who were seated. He also did the same with the fish, as much as they wanted. When the people were full, he told his disciples, Gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing is wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the miraculous sign Jesus did, they said, This really is the prophet who is coming into the world. When Jesus realized that they intended to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. We'll continue with our hymn, 743, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Oh, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer. Thine arms I rest me, foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Though the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Satan, I defy thee, death I now decry thee, fear I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while God's great power guards every hour. Earth and all its depths adore him. Silent bow before him. Hence all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure. Jesus is my choice. Hence all empty not to me thy story, told with tempting voice. Pain or loss or shame or cross shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me. Evil world, I leave thee, thou canst not deceive me. Thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me. Come not forth again. Pass thy hour, O pride and power. Sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave me now. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our readings today sound different from the way that they would under normal circumstances. Under normal circumstances, we know where our daily bread is going to come from. We're going to go to the grocery store to buy it. In order to pay for it, we're going to go to work and cash our paycheck. Our pay has enough left over that we can go to a restaurant or a movie or take a vacation every now and then. Everybody has abundant provisions. Our second reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles is the report of what happened right after Peter preached the gospel on Pentecost. 3,000 were baptized. They met together and broke bread together. They had all things in common. If there was someone in need, they gave. If they didn't have the means on hand, they sold so that they did. When things are operating normally among us, we have measures and procedures set up for taking care of the less fortunate. Since other people are taking care of these problems, we don't worry about it. With what is going on right now, we might very well be called upon to give away what we have, perhaps our toilet paper, to those who did not hoard it, give away our food and supplies. Holding things in common is much more of a real possibility today and going forward into the future than it was just a couple of weeks ago. In our gospel reading, Jesus wants the disciples to feed the huge crowd of hungry people. Philip does the math and says that even if they spent 200 denarii, it wouldn't be close to enough. And to be sure, none of them had 200 denarii. 200 denarii is about 200 days' wages. That would be over $20,000 in today's money. How are these people going to be fed? They have nothing. Today, we are beginning to hear people wonder aloud how the economy is going to keep going if everybody is confined to their houses. How are people's needs going to be met? Where is the money going to come from? Today, everybody's attention is on the virus and on the healthcare system, and that's right. Tomorrow, the news will be focused on the great changes that have already taken place in our economy. Perhaps we could sum up all these concerns by saying that we would like to know the future. We want to know where and how we are going to get everything that we need. When we don't know how things will be in a month or in a week, we become burdened and heavy laden with stress. There is stress when things are going normally, but that's nothing compared to when things are uncertain. And if ever the situation should get to the point where we don't know how we're going to eat tomorrow, then we would be greatly troubled, to say the least. This was the situation in our first reading from Exodus. Moses and the hundreds of thousands of people had left Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea. They were on their way to Mount Sinai. They'd already gone through the first crisis that would take place on such a journey. They had run out of water. Where are they going to find water in the desert? When they finally did find some, they couldn't drink it. It was bitter. But God made the bitter water sweet, and then he led them to a place that did have abundant water. What is the thing that runs low after water on a journey? It's food. The provisions that they brought along with them from Egypt had run out. What are they going to eat? They blamed Moses and Aaron for leading them into this terrible predicament. Here are the harsh and bitter words. I wish we had died in Egypt. At least we had something to eat there. Now we have to watch our children starve in this miserable wilderness. Reading these words can't possibly do justice because there were sights and sounds that had to have accompanied these words, there had to have been veins popping and screams and tears. If I said that they were stressed, you would probably say, you can say that again. And why were they stressed? It's because they were down to nothing. They didn't know the future. Where were they going to get bread for tomorrow? Have you ever noticed the redundancy in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread"? The emphasis is on the day, as in day by day. This matches up with our Lord's teaching elsewhere, which is also focused on the day. He says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Again, he says, "Consider the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither spin nor toil, but they're adorned with such beauty that even Solomon in all of his glory cannot compare to them. So do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what clothes you wear. You see, you have a God. And you are more important and precious to God than many sparrows and all the flowers of the field. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," Jesus says, "and I will give you rest." These are wonderful, tender, encouraging words. I want you to drink them up and satisfy your soul. If you are troubled, Jesus says, "Trust in me." I also want you to notice something, though. Having been satisfied with trust in your Heavenly Father to give you your daily bread, I also want you to notice whom or in what you otherwise can't help but trust in. Times of scarcity and stress reveal in what or in whom we have been trusting. We trust in some pretty silly things when you really think about it. We trust in our bank accounts. What can dollar bills really do for you? If you get right down to it, they're pieces of paper or even just electronic bits of information. Under normal circumstances, they work fine, but dollars are far from being infallible. I forget how many trillions of dollars have been wiped out in our economy in just the last month, but it is a very big number. Or we trust in our well-stocked pantry. This is what the Israelites trusted in too. They had brought along all that they could when they left their homes in Egypt. But what can butter and eggs and milk really do for you? These things are very poor substitutes for the real God. The real God can make bread rain down from heaven and make flocks of quail cover the whole camp. He can make bread and fish multiply miraculously in the taking, giving thanks, breaking, and giving. And these are only the needs that have to do with our bellies. Nobody believes that money or food can rescue them from what really plagues us, can rescue us from death or the corruption that takes place in the grave. These things that we make such a big deal about, money and food and other things, are really quite limited in what they are able to accomplish. But your God sees to your every need, not just of body, but also of soul. Let's suppose you manage to live 120 years full of great times and good memories. what would become of you when you are judged for how you've lived your life? Justice makes its claim on you, and justice will have its fill. But justice has already had its fill on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The righteousness of life that is required of you has been lived by Jesus in your place. The punishment for your sins that is required, because it is just, has been poured out on the spotless Son of God. Your redemption from death and hell was worked by the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. Your God has not just seen to the needs of your body, which is here today and gone tomorrow, but also of your eternal soul. Through faith in Christ, you have eternal life for both your body and your soul, just as Christ is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, so also you will rise. And so stresses and troubles are not altogether bad, so long as they work together in making us more firmly trust in the one who works our salvation. If we were good people, if we were wise and pious, then we would fear, love, and trust in God equally in good times and in bad. It wouldn't matter to us if we had 20 years' worth of bread stored up or just enough for the day. We would be equally of good cheer in both. But we're not like that. We're not good, wise, or pious. We're liable to despise God and fear, love, and trust in other things. It is only when these other things fail and show us their true, impotent colors that we are given the opportunity to wake up from our foolishness of trusting in these other things and trust in the God who will not fail us. Stress and scarcity, when they are used appropriately, are very good for us spiritually. Have you prayed more this past week than you did the week before? I have. My flesh is no different than your flesh. It is just as lazy and cold. I can't hardly be whipped into shape unless I'm forced to. I don't know a good thing, even just being out on the town, until it's gone. But even though I do not deserve it, God gives me the opportunity to grasp him anew in trouble, to be cheered with his loving kindness, and to be able to also pass that along to you so that you may trust in God yet more firmly. Anybody and everybody who trusts in anything else will be disappointed, but you will never be disappointed when you trust in God and the glorious promises that he has made to you. God is not a liar, and so his promises will come true. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We will continue with the prayers on page 5 of your service. You are welcome to stand if you'd like for these prayers. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. May save your people and bless your heritage, be their shepherd, and carry them forever. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness and give thanks for all your benefits and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the pandemic that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort to all who mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors and cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Our closing hymn is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
That concludes our service today. Thank you for joining me remotely, and God's richest blessings to all of you. Goodbye.